It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. I'm just going to say, Jason Allen Carr, thank you so much for coming on my little podcast. Can you please tell us who you are as a human?
As a human being?
Yeah.
Your face. I am a spiritual being having a human experience, and in my transformation of where I am in my going forward of who I am and my connectivity to everything that is, was, and will be, I am a growing energy light figure trying to light the way for others.
When did you learn that about yourself?
Let's see. Well, I think I kind of always knew it, but probably in the last couple years for sure.
What was the turning point where you were like, I'm a laser beam?
Well, I always believed that I was a laser beam of light, but because of experiences and things that I've experienced over my life, or we have all experienced over our life, might have taken us away from that energy frequency of being that light. And I think that, so I would study and read spiritual books and stuff. And then I kind of was like I stopped all my spiritual work for like maybe 10 years, kind of got stuck on what was going on outside of myself. Mm-hmm. And then when I got back into yoga, I got 3 books and I wasn't sure which one to start with. And so I just trusted and grabbed a book. And when I opened up the book, I read the first paragraph and I was like, this is me before I got wrapped up in everything that was going on around me, and brought me back into my life.
What book was that?
Don't ask me questions like that. I don't know.
You don't.
It was one of my workbooks for Shanti Yoga School. So, do I know the name of the book? No. Can I see it? It's white and has green lighting.
Was it part of your required reading for Shanti Yoga School?
It was, and it outside of like yoga and the practice of, you know, like the technique to the poses and stuff, the cool part was that first paragraph reminded me who I was prior and reminded me of all of the things that I already knew. And so when I was reading this book, I was like, I know that. I studied that years ago, and it brought it all back.
What do you think that thing is where we know this thing and then we, even if we know it, we forget it? And not just in terms of who we are as spiritual laser beams, but like, I know I should brush my teeth every night, but I'm going to wait until the last possible second. And instead of brushing my teeth for 2 minutes, I'm going to do 30 seconds. Or I know that I should probably drink a green smoothie instead of a milkshake right now. Like, but we still make that. How do we like?
Presence. You have to move into presence because you're not in present. You're not in the present moment. You're in your head. You're talking yourself out of brushing your teeth. You're talking yourself from going from 1 minute to 30 seconds. So you're in your head all the time. But if you can take a deep breath in and bring yourself into the present moment, and then you still have that opportunity on, you know, whether you want to do it or not. But it's presence.
Okay. When did you decide to do a yoga teacher training?
I was at a job.
Away from the microphone.
I'm sorry. I was at a job that I was very unhappy at, that I made myself sick.
Oh.
It made my body sick. And I had to go to the doctor, and I took a leave of absence. And the day I took a leave of absence was the day that I started yoga school.
Really? Did you time that on purpose? Mm-hmm. Like, you knew you were going to take a leave of absence.
I'm not one of those people that can work and study at the same time, like go to school. And like, I need my time. And whether that time is sitting there doing absolutely nothing, but I need that time. And there's a lot of time that's taken from you when you're go, when you're in that state of trying to figure it out, I guess.
Were you, what was I going to say? Were you always like that? Like if when you went to school when you were younger, you're like, I can't have distractions. I have to focus on one thing at a time.
My thing that I'm still working on is I want everything fast, super, super fast. I want the spirituality fast. I don't want, but now I know that you have to, in your presence, you have to go through these experiences. You know how we want to dole out advice to somebody to like help them out with something so they don't have to go through the same experience that we did, but we're really just projecting our experience onto them and they might not even have that experience.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
And I forgot your question.
I don't remember either.
Sweet.
I think I was asking you if you've always been the type of person that you have to do one thing at a time and and work at the same time. Do you have other examples where you need to do things like that?
I like to do things easy without a lot of background coming in. Ask me the question again. I just got sidetracked. Sorry.
So for those of you listening, I don't know if you can hear this, but there is some kind of machinery or truck outside, and all I can hear is this beep, beep, like backing up. It's really distracting.
Do you want me to speak up so you can't hear it?
I think it's going away, but I'm not sure. What were you before you were a yoga teacher?
What was I before I was a yoga teacher? Like work-wise?
What did you do?
Managing at a store.
Oh yeah, World Market. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And then you were like, I'm going to go to yoga training. And when did you decide that you wanted to do yoga full time?
Well, thank you for asking, Christina. Not that this has anything to do. Excuse me. Hollywood Market is what got me in. So I've always been interested in yoga. What's her name? Jane Fonda is the one who introduced me to yoga. I used to do it with the VHS tape.
The
VCR. I would do it every morning when I lived in California. And I loved it. It just gave me like a calm and a peace. I don't know how I stopped doing that, and then I would see yoga places in Los Angeles and didn't really know anything about it. Then Hollywood Market.
So did you go to yoga when you lived in Los Angeles? No.
No, I just did it by myself. And then I went to Hollywood Market. They had a Groupon. It was like amazing deal. It was like $39 for an hour massage and 5 classes. And I was like, are you kidding me? So I got it. And then 3 other people got it. And then, excuse me, after we got the membership, I did my 5 classes and I just loved it so much. I wanted to stay. And then, you know, you signed me up and that really opened me up to wanting to do this for other people. Yoga. Create space for people. Not necessarily yoga in like the Hollywood form. Hollywood form is very, you know, athletic.
Mm-hmm.
My yoga is a little bit more spiritual, meditative.
Mm-hmm. So how would you describe your yoga classes?
A magical experience of light. It's a combination of yoga, stretch, qigong movements. I've added energy work into it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Meditation. I like to do, you've done my color meditation. My color meditation, but it has expanded outside of anything that it was before the pandemic, for sure.
Get your microphone closer here to you, by the way. I'm going to tell you that like 15 times.
You're closer?
Like, you're like crouching over.
I'm comfortable.
Bring it closer to your mouth so you're comfy. Because you can move it around. Oh, yeah. Lay down. Relax. I'm going to take a picture of this and we're going to post this because this is too cute.
I think this is better. You're right. Let's just be comfortable.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you loved yoga and you decided that you wanted to create space for other people to have these types of experiences that you enjoyed.
I've always wanted to be in a position where I could help others. And that just at this point in my life is just creating space for them to find a space of being, to see and hear a different perspective, something outside of what they might have been told. You know, we're mm-hmm. in a new energy field with this planet. And so we're all looking for new ways to connect, not only with each other, but with the planet or just with ourselves mostly. That's why we're here. We're, you know, behind this veil and we're trying to get through that veil to remember who we truly are.
Are you still teaching at Edwards Greenhouse?
Mm-hmm. I love Edwards Greenhouse.
Which I think when I took the yoga class from you there, it was so amazing because there's plants everywhere and it was warm inside. And that just added to the whole visual and energetic sense of taking your yoga class there. What type of classes do you teach there?
So the experience at Edwards is so cool because they heat their greenhouse with the geothermal water underneath them. So you have that energy underneath the earth that we're standing on.
So cool.
Yeah. And then you've got, it's at the base of the foothills. So, and it's on 5 acres. So, you know, there's neighborhoods and stuff, but the greenhouse is on 5 acres. So there's all this opportunity and space and all of the living plants. Like around my yoga spot right now, I've got lime trees and orange trees, and I have eucalyptus and I have jasmine, and you can really smell when you're out of your head.
Yeah.
And you're there, you know, when you first go into a greenhouse, you get that clean dirt smell, I like to call it, and it's humid inside. So I forgot what I was going to say. Well, you got all of this life from the plant. So you not only have that geothermal water underneath it, you have this magical place here on this planet. And then the people that own it are really, really good, kind people. So you've got that, and they really care about the planet and they care about human beings. And so you have that going on. And then you have my magicalness that I get to provide at this space, because it's so awesome. And I want people to leave feeling connected and high. I want them to feel high, that blissful state that get like you're like, eh. Yeah, it's so awesome. I love it.
What do you call that yoga high?
High.
Just high.
I just call it high. It's a natural high. It's a connection with your energy. And I had a spiritual teacher that told me years ago, he was like, I had just started smoking marijuana. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I can teach you how to get high without having to smoke it. And I was like, whatever, Lewis. I'm like, you know, you smoke a joint and you're high then. Like, he was talking about years and years of, you know, spiritual practice and, you know, being committed to it and all that kind of stuff. And it was awesome. And now I understand what he's talking about. He did teach me by planting that seed, and I was able to find that space for myself, and it's fucking awesome.
I don't know how this came into play in my experience, but I have also dabbled in the marijuana arts and I've done other psychedelics. And when I got really into yoga and meditation, I was like, oh my god, I this feels like I just smoked a joint. This feels like I've just been hiking on mushrooms and like the wilderness. And I felt like it was so easy. It was much easier to tap into those sensations. Now if I were to smoke a joint, I would have so much anxiety. I would feel so uncomfortable because I've gotten used to this clean yoga high, I suppose. And I had different people who are like really big fans of marijuana, and I mean, I'm not against it, I totally support it. They're like, you just haven't done the right kind yet, or you should try an indica, that's gonna relax you. And so like the last time I was like, oh, it'll help me sleep, you promise? Like, oh yeah, it's totally fine. So my friend gave me like a hit off of his little indica marijuana joint, and this was like 5 years ago, and I had so much anxiety. I ended up in child's pose on the floor in my bedroom, just rocking my forehead side to side, being like, you're just high, girl, it's gonna be fine. which is crazy because in high school we used to like do it on our lunch break and go back to class like nothing. But now I think because I've become so much more aware and mindful of my thoughts, of my the physical sensations of my body, I have to be really intentional if I do anything to alter my mind. So like if I'm drinking alcohol at dinner or something, I just feel like I'm extra sensitive to that stuff suddenly. Whereas when I was younger and in college, just having the time of my life, I didn't notice it.
Right. Because you were in your head like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I forgot what I was going to say. Damn it.
Sorry. Well, have you had a similar experience to that?
With what?
With your teacher saying, you don't need to smoke marijuana because you can get the same feeling from doing yoga.
Right. So one of the things I was going to say that you pointed out with, you know, we feel these things. We've been taught to believe and think and perceive a certain way for a very long time. And you know that in yoga, it happens a lot, especially when you're doing hot yoga and when you're, let's say, forward fold, mm-hmm. standing forward fold, and you come up and you get that dizziness. Mm-hmm. It's a high. Mm-hmm. But we have been conditioned to think that, oh, we came up too fast, I feel dizzy, I'm going to pass out. And for me, I've changed the story on that, because for me, it's like a natural high, and I just feel it throughout my body, throughout my whole, to every single cell of my body. So I don't put a judgment on it that, oh, I, you know, am at a loss of air, or I got too much air or something. I come up, and then I just kind of experience it, and I love it. And I've never fainted before and so I don't know what that feels like. But
have you?
In the judgment of my mind,
you've never fainted before ever in your life.
No. So when this happens, like sometimes if I'm in a hot yoga class and I come up and it gets to be a little intense,
mm-hmm.
but I think that intensity it's that crossover to seeing past what it is or feeling past what it is that you're experiencing in that moment. And so I just lost track of my mind again. I'm sorry. So when you come up out of it and you take the judgment off of it, I'm standing there and in a hot yoga class, and I'll come up, I'll feel it. And that when it gets to that point where it's like so intense, like, oh, you know, the mind will say, is this right before I'm going to pass out? So
yeah.
Sometimes I'll just drop myself down into child's pose in that
Smart.
Moment and then just experience what I'm still experiencing there. But sometimes I'll just continue standing and
I think
until it comes back into, you know, this realm that we're living on.
I remember being in elementary school at recess, and we would all spin in circles until we got dizzy and fell down. And it was so fun. And we definitely didn't need substances to make us feel that way. We were just being our playful selves.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, as you know, some of those substances are able to get us out of our head long enough to experience what's on the other side.
What's on the other side?
All of it.
What do you mean?
All of it. Everything that is, was, and will be, past, present, future.
Okay, so you just taught a meditation class last week for us, uh-huh. and you added your singing bowls, and the people who've been coming in being like, oh my gosh, I just did Jason Allen Carr's meditation. It was amazing.
Oh, good.
Did you do your color meditation?
excuse me. It's not, I did do my color meditation in a different form than what you've experienced.
Oh.
So it's different every time now. Before, I had a memorization of like what every chakra,
mm-hmm.
Means and, for its meaning. I don't necessarily add all of those in. It's more of I kind of get you into a space of being, and then it's all about you just feeling your body in that space. So when I direct you, excuse me, to the red chakra at the base of the spine, I just want you to like feel, you can do it right now. Just take your awareness there and just kind of feel. For me, it kind of feels like a vibration on that muscle that's in between your legs, or mm-hmm. a warmth on that muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And So for the individual during the meditation, I'd like for them to just focus on that spot and just see how it feels. Your mind's going to come in. It's going to judge it. It's not, you know, it's supposed to turn to the left. It's supposed to turn to the right. No, that's not, that's, and that is a limited way of thinking. Okay. You have to go into the body, into those chakras, and just observe what it is that you're feeling without judgment. And when your mind does judge it, just be aware in that moment that you're the observer of mm-hmm. that thought, that you're not that thought, that that's not, because that, because then once you put a label on it, then you've taken something that's limitless mm-hmm. and limited it. So I'm all for, you know, when I describe the chakra to people, you might feel it spinning to the left. You might feel it spinning to the right. You might feel it expanding out like an inhalation and then collapsing into itself like an exhalation. Like, it's going to be different for everybody. And so that's how I do it with the chakras.
What is that? What do you talk about when you start bringing in past, present, future, and you're talking about, do you know what I'm trying to remember how you phrased it in a meditation I did with you, that you'll just pull in words talking about the entire universe, past, present, future. What's that about with your meditation? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Maybe. I think it comes from experiences that I've had. I think it comes from, so I'm not a reader. I'm not a huge fan of reading.
Okay.
I just read, quote unquote, read The Power of Now through audiobook for free on YouTube, which is amazing.
Oh, cool.
And it's like 7 hours long. So I just listened to it, but it's awesome. And what one thing that I like about, Eckhart Tolle mm-hmm. is that he is really hard for me to, he doesn't have that beautiful English bougie voice that you have during
his
yoga.
Voice is very interesting.
It's very interesting. And it's hard to listen to. And when I say it's hard to listen to, it's hard to listen. So because of the way that he speaks, you have to give him more of your presence mm. and more of your attention to understand what it is that he's saying. So when I listen to the YouTube mm-hmm. of this book, and whatever it was I was doing, making my bed, brushing my teeth, whatever, I had to focus really hard. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about finding that place of presence, mm-hmm. that place of being where you're, you know, all about that present moment. And you have to do that when you listen to him on the audiobook. And it was awesome. And I had never read it. You know, it's an older book. Mm-hmm. I've read newer things. Or
I want to say that came out in the early 2000s. So did that inspire you to bring that into your meditations that you offer your students?
So what I was saying is that I'm not a big reader. So I'm just allowing, you know, there's light codes, there's energy codes, and all of the energy around us from the sun, the moon, the stars, all of that stuff. And so I've opened myself up, knowing that I'm more than this physical body, to all of those sentient beings that I just named. And I'm receiving information from them, and they're receiving information from me. Like, I'm a conduit. Like, today before I did this, I sat in my backyard with my third eye towards the sun, with my feet on the ground. I took them out of my shoes and put them on the ground so I could feel the earth raw against my feet. And then just have my palms face up on my knees. And I just visualized the sun coming in through the warmth where it was touching my body, through the clothes, through the pores, and through my body, lighting me up from the inside out. And without the egoic mind needing the confirmation that you're receiving information, my intent was to be the conduit between the information coming from the sun and from the earth. So I was the that energy of light that was connecting to,
wow.
not that they're not already connected, mm-hmm. but it was my way of getting into a space of feeling like I could receive that information into my cellular structure, again, without the egoic mind needing confirmation that it was happening.
Did your parents raise you in an atmosphere where you could be open to meditation, yoga, spirituality?
Yeah. My mom was, she read the spiritual books, passed it along to us. She meditated. That's one thing I think that's super important for parents to, you know, I don't have the time. Well, you have time to have children, so you now have the opportunity to teach these. To teach these children the things that you didn't know. And one of those things is taking the time to meditate.
To medicate.
Well, you know what it is. If you meditate, then you're medicating because you're keeping yourself from having Western medicine have to be, you know, something that you need, which is something that you don't need. You are your healer. But what was I saying? Where was I in the story?
I don't know. I'm so excited. How did you get into...
We were talking about the spirituality.
I was talking about your family and if they brought you up in a safe place for that to
My mom took time to meditate. And, you know, as a child, 45 minutes is 3 days.
Yes.
So I remember her, you know, we wanted to go see the new Superman movie or go see E.T. or whatever when it came out. And it was always, we're going to go see it, but I need to lay down and meditate first. And that would usually take an hour. And like I said, when you're a little kid, that takes forever. So it was always around me. So it's one of those things children are learning from their parents. That's who they're with the most. So if you're not... mirroring these things for them or for them to experience and to receive. I mean, it's, you know, I love kids and I love to do the kids yoga. I will drive by on my way to yoga and I will, you know, by Camelsback Park and there's, I don't know, 1,300 children up there chasing balls and, you know, playing and doing all of this stuff. And I just, and then I'll get to yoga and I'll have two or three kids. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's a loop that human beings are in. They were taught sports, soccer, baseball, football. You know, it's time to step out of that space. It doesn't work. It hasn't been working for us. That's why we're going through everything that we're going through now with this planet and with each other. And to move into the space. But you know what? If I can touch two or three kids and they take one thing, if they know that they're more than just their physical body and that's all they took, thank God. That's it.
What inspired you to want to work with children?
I just have always loved kids ever since I was a little, you know, I wasn't, again, the work and working and going to school thing. It didn't work for me in high school either. You know, my mom wanted me to get a job, but I wasn't going to get a job. And so I babysat. And I love kids. I love how they absorb everything and things that you can't even imagine. Like what people will pick up. Like you might be giving somebody a lesson and they're not going to hear it, but it'll be something that you randomly said and they're like, oh, wow, look at that.
That's what stuck out. Interesting. Yeah. I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
What have I overheard at yoga? I can tell you something that I saw at yoga that was really funny.
Yeah.
I was doing a private yoga class for a family. And one of my best friends was in this class and it was Shavasana. They were all laying in Shavasana, you know, with laying down flat on your back with your palms face up next to you. And, you know, when you get to that point, at least in my meditation where I'm bringing you back, you say you can start to wiggle your fingers and your toes to like move back into your physical body. And as I was sitting there, you know, with their palms face up next to you, I slowly see my best friend's middle fingers coming straight up at me. And I just lost it. And the whole family had just had this awesome Shavasana. And we're laughing so hard, we're crying. And then I had to explain it to them. Yeah, it was super fun.
Why was your friend doing that, flipping you off because he didn't want to get out of Shavasana? He's like, I'm too relaxed. Leave me here or just to mess with you.
It's a she's rotten. It's because she's rotten.
Just start to wiggle your fingertips and toes and the bird.
And then up comes the middle finger.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Before we wrap things up, thank you so much for coming on my little podcast.
I adore your energy,
your vibration, everything that you share and bring to our yoga community. Where can people find you and follow you and come take your class?
You can find me at Edwards Greenhouse at Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursday mornings at 9:30. I do every other week, coming this Saturday. I'm doing Hollywood Markets Kids Yoga, 10 o'clock. And I just posted, I'm doing a 2-night, 3-day retreat up at Trinity Hot Springs.
What?
And I have an acupuncturist, a massage person. I'm going to do an in-water meditation and yoga class. I have a card reader, and then I have a lady who does foot zoning and kinesiology. So it's $1,000 for this retreat, but that covers the food and it covers the private cabin that we'll be using, and we'll have the use of the hot springs up there at Trinity for 3 full days.
When is this?
It's going to be January 3rd and 4th.
Okay, so I'm going to get all the links from you so that folks can find you.
Yes,
and I'll keep that in the show notes.
And it's limited to 5 people. We're only doing 5 people at a time.
Awesome. Even better. Thanks, Jason.
Well,
Alan
thank
Carr.
You. I love you.
I love you.
Okay.
Bye, guys. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste!